time is 8:06. Currently overcast skies. Temperature of 30 degrees in downtown Wausau. I'm Chad Holmes. It is the Wednesday edition of the Chad Holmes Show on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. Online at bowfallsradio.com. Mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO. Coming up in the second hour of the program, we'll be joined by Sean Wright, the Executive Director of the Grand Theater and the Wausau Performing Arts Foundation, talking about the early productions coming to the Grand here to start off 2024. And then after that, at the bottom of the hour, in hour number two, at approximately 9:35, we'll be joined from the Marathon County Public Library by Chad Daly. But here in hour number one, as we do every other Wednesday, for the first time here in the new year, very happy to welcome back in Bob Look. Bob, good morning.
Well, good morning. Good morning, everybody. A little word to the wise, if you're doing any traveling, we got a little mist type stuff. It's not rain, but it's misting, and the temperatures where they're at just might slick up those roads a bit. In fact, I saw a couple of salt trucks making their way out there just to be on the safe side. So if you're doing something, right, you know, heading out the door, just giving you a heads up.
And also if you're walking outside the door.
Yes. Don't just think it's wet.
Get to our age, you might fall down. You find yourself sore for about 3.5 weeks then. You know, well, what I
mean? That's why somebody was asking me, but, well, gee, Bob, you know, why aren't you still playing hockey? He says, I don't mind playing hockey. It's the falling. And yep, when you take those dumps on the ice, you don't bounce up as quick as you used to.
The recovery time is longer and longer and longer. Real fast, I was watching some of the Badger hockey from the Pfizer Forum. Were you on the mic for those games?
No.
Oh, okay. I was wondering about that.
I know what you're getting to. Bill Brophy, who was doing the telecast with Brian Posick, he assumed I was doing it because they had all the minor officials. And so he made that comment about, well, I listened for the PA announcer, Bob Look, you know, to get, you know, and I was laughing at home. I text him during the game, and I said, Bill, thanks for the shout out, but I'm sitting in my home here in Rothschild. I'm watching your telecast, and he didn't make a correction on the air, but he says, yeah, Brian kind of nudged me after that and kind of clued me in.
Is that because Pfizer Forum has their own person?
The group that runs that tournament has nothing to do with University of Wisconsin. They just worked to get the University of Wisconsin to commit to play there so they would have a crowd.
Yep.
And so they kind of make their own decisions, and they got the minor officials from the Kohl Center because of their experience with college hockey. And I guess the gentleman who's doing that may be the person who does Milwaukee Admiral games. I'm not really sure. they just wanted to keep somebody in there, which is fine. That's their deal.
You're busy enough, right?
When the first year they're doing it, the minor officials were saying, hey, keep those dates open. I says, well, I don't really foresee myself being, you know, tied up, but, you know, then he never followed up. He says, no, they said they had somebody. I says, okay, fine. One less trip.
How was the New Year's holiday?
Quiet. No, quiet. Those days of bringing in the new year. I mean, I was fast asleep. Although with that Packer game, that did push my limits a little bit further, closer to midnight. Even though it was a blowout, but it's
worth always watching, right?
It's always fun watching the Vikings get their tails whooped. But you know, so I stayed up at least pushing about 11 o'clock. But then it's the heck with it.
Ask you something here. I was thinking about watching that game, and I know this is a little less serious than maybe the news stories, but I was thinking about the fact that there's 32 head coaches in the National Football League, and it's thought of being the best of the best. And then you got 32 offensive coordinators and 32 defensive coordinators, so that's 96 that are supposed to be the best of the best. And when you see Minnesota, their head coach decide to put an obviously over his head quarterback in to play in one of the biggest games they'll play all season, where if they win, they're in a pretty good shot, a good space to make a playoff. And then I think about, you know, when you look at, you know, all the talk about, you know, for most of the season, the Packers defense playing below what you would expect. The idea that these are the best is such a fallacy, isn't it?
Well,
it's about who you know. It's about, I'll take another real quick example. The Los Angeles Chargers fired their coach Brandon Staley a couple of weeks ago.
Right.
he basically got the job because he was defensive coordinator for the Rams for 1 year, and they wanted somebody that would be the next Sean McVay. Hey, that guy's right next to him. So, again, the idea that the meritocracy, even in the world of professional sports, is pure is such a fallacy, isn't it?
Yeah, professional sports, college sports, or anything, even in business, a lot of times you look at what the you know, some other organization, you know, rolled the dice and came up with a big win. Oh, we're gonna have to find somebody just like that.
Yep.
And I normally look at what the person can bring to the table, not their experience or lack of experience or what their age is, as opposed to how old they are. Can you do the job, yes or no? I think the coach for the Vikings was just basically, he knew what he had with his backup, you know, that came in later to at least play reasonable, but he realized that ceiling wasn't too high. So he figured he threw money on a number on the craft on the roulette wheel, and it did not come up winner. He tried, but he kind of realized that I don't really think I have a chance. So let's just give this guy a shot and see what happens. And unfortunately for the young guy, he didn't have a very good first half.
Let's start talking a little bit about the news as we go into 2024. My thought was maybe, no, and I never thought this. I'm just saying this. The thought that Ron Johnson, after all these years, would change, because anybody who's listened to this program since it started, one of my favorite topics is Ron Johnson, because I just find the guy to be such a waste of space. Well, and I know that some people in my trying to be above the fray kind of persona, that doesn't sound very good. But the way that he is just the last few weeks, and the thing that drives me nuts about the guy is that, you know, number one, he is such a show horse. He doesn't do anything. He's on Fox News every day of the week. And also, the idea that he just rails and rails and rails, and people like Tom Tiffany rail about the border crisis. And then finally you got Mitch McConnell, part of this group, discussing perhaps some sort of deal, you know, and
as a deal, but at least looking for a solution
exactly.
for the immigration crisis.
But that was not something that Ron Johnson wants to see happen, because it just shows the hypocrisy that you're going to rail on this just for the optics, for the politics of it, and not try to fix a problem. And again, we've talked about our system. This is the poison that goes into our system, isn't it?
Well, there's also the amount of electorate out there who want to see things basically not work, because they just like sitting back and saying, "See, I told you so. Big government doesn't work. This doesn't work. They don't know what they're doing. They don't have their heads screwed on straight." And the negativism has always been a factor. It's just they've got more of a voice now because there's more people who are in the actual elected offices that come in there with that same attitude. Like, we're just going to go here. We're going to try to look good. And I love watching the congressional membership or even the Senate representation for some of these projects that are now being brought into the various states that were from the legislation that was passed by the Democratic Congress and signed by the President, Joe Biden, that are benefiting districts. And now they're standing at the groundbreaking ceremonies, going, this will be great, this will add, but they voted against it.
Isn't that real fast about that topic? Remember a couple of years ago when the infrastructure bill was passed, the talk was that with this money, it was not going to be immediate. It was not going to be an immediate fix to the economy in terms of the numbers. It would take time. And it's exactly what happened. And as we go into this year, if it's so easy to take our eye off the ball on what is real and what's not real, there are numbers, there is information out there that shows what works, what doesn't work, who has provided the policies that has led to economic growth, who has provided the policies that has not led to economic growth or has not fixed problems or has fixed problems. The information is out there if we look for it and we spread it.
Yeah, well, they're also going to have, again, as I've said in the past, there's that group that always, that it, no matter what it is, it's wrong. In fact, the Marx Brothers had a song in one of their movies, you know, where whatever it is, you know, whatever it is, I'm against it. And it was basically, you know, just showing that no matter what you propose, no matter, I'm against it. And it'll always show a negative side, never a positive side.
I didn't know Ron Johnson was one of the Marx Brothers.
Well,
that new beard, maybe.
Well, Groucho, Harpo, Chico, Zeppo, and Rono.
Ronbo.
Ronjo.
Rojo. Yeah,
Rojo. That's Rojo. His name.
But again, I just... Well, when you look at, again, I'm kind of trying to look at, take a step back. You have this man who has had so many advantages in his life. He doesn't have to worry about paying his bills, in terms, because he's got the money. He's been blessed with incredible wealth. He's got a family that obviously is something that he loves. He's had the opportunity now to serve as a senator from the state of Wisconsin, and yet he goes out there and behaves like he does. I just, frankly, it frustrates me to no end. And then that millions of people decide this is the kind of clown they want representing them.
Well, let's be honest, that the last election, the reason why he won a third term was because his opponent was black. There's going to be some people going, No, that's the reason. You had Governor Evers winning a statewide election for governor. Josh Call for the Attorney General, Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez. No problems there. And the thing is, I know Mandela Barnes, pretty well. Got to know him well, during the campaign.
You're part of the same ticket.
Yeah, he was making appearances along with myself, and he's really just an awesome individual, and I think the state of Wisconsin missed out on having a really, really dedicated senator.
We're not done with Ron Johnson, because doggone it, I love talking about this guy.
Talk about the times I've had.
And welcome back. Chad Holmes with you here on Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230, bullfallsradio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app. More with Bob Look coming up here in just a moment. But each morning, now at 8:20, we are very happy to welcome to the program our meteorologist, Brittany Merlot. Of course, meteorologist, news reporter, so many hats for us here at Bull Falls Radio. And Brittany, good morning.
Good morning.
I know they're
How
keeping
was your commute in this morning.
Mine was pretty good, actually, because for whatever reason, I don't know. I guess because when you look at the temperature, it's been around 30 degrees. I was expecting it to be, even when I walked my car this morning from my apartment, I thought, better be careful, because as an old guy, I don't want to fall down and be in traction for 3 weeks. But generally, it wasn't too bad. I think at least where I was and the drive in here to Bull Falls Radio, it wasn't too bad.
Perfect. Yeah, I can see a little bit of light drizzle coming down now, and that'll be the problem here this morning. But temperatures hovering right around that freezing mark. That's the part I don't like you mentioned. Could be icy in some spots, especially if it's not treated. So like front stairs could be slick and slippery as you step out. So just be careful of that this morning, because we're getting hit with a cold front. So our highest temperatures, the warmest of the day, is right now. We're going to get colder as we go through this afternoon, slowly dropping, and this is going to flip from light drizzly mist and a few flurries over to all snow. This isn't going to be a big thing. This is not a big event. We're only looking at a trace of accumulation possible, but turning to all snow as we go through the afternoon. We're going to be stuck under these cloudy skies, unfortunately. The good thing is the winds aren't moving. So like you mentioned, it doesn't feel too bad out there just yet. But by tonight, tomorrow morning, we're dropping down to the teens. So real winter temperatures coming back.
And the thing about that would be actually pretty mild normally. I mean, we haven't had that.
We're talking about like negative 20 wind chills at this point,
right.
I feel.
Let me ask you something real quickly before we wrap it up, because I was tuned into our national newscast earlier, and they were talking about some significant snowstorms out east coming up maybe by the end of the week. And you had mentioned earlier, in fact, yesterday, about the potential maybe in the Milwaukee, Chicago area as we got towards the weekend of snow and the models were looking like we weren't going to get hit too hard. Has anything changed with that? And do you sense a change in the patterns where we're starting to hear, at least hear about some significant snow that could come this way at some point?
Sure, sure. It's definitely targeting the Great Lakes. We are going to be in the vicinity of some snowfall. I do think we're going to get something. It's just whether we're going to get the heart of the storm or not. So you know how it always bounces up and down. Our models are still changing. We've got our two strongest model runs. One is targeting Chicago, mainly, and that would bring us about 1 to 3 inches right now.
Right.
The other track is targeting Madison, Milwaukee. I mean, now it's even starting to pull in central Wisconsin, and that wants to give us over a half a foot of snow to maybe a foot in some areas. So we're on that line of will we get hit hard or will we get scraped? And I'll keep you updated with that, but it's definitely going to happen, and which I'm, you know, a lot of things are closing down, right?
Right.
Eagle River is usually building their ice castle right now. I mean, Rhinelander and Tomahawk have an ice fishing tournament that was canceled this weekend. And the Bear Grease, I don't know if you've heard of that, it's a dog sled race up in Minnesota. That's never been canceled. It's canceled now because of the warm weather all the way up in Minnesota. So it's just crazy. We need the snow.
You are exactly right. I'm not a big fan of it, but you're exactly right. For those folks that love the winter, we definitely do need it. So we're going to keep an eye on those models, talk to you each morning now at 8:20. Really appreciate the information. We'll talk again tomorrow.
Yeah, sounds good. Have a good day, everybody.
Thank you, Brittany.
Thank you. Hey,
Brittany Merlot again from Bow Falls Radio joining us now here on the program at 8:20 each and every weekday morning. Real fast, Bob. Again, I mean, for us, you know, I know for you, it's the last thing you want to do is head down to Madison on a weekend and have to battle big snow. But at the same time, it's like, boy, it does affect a lot of folks here when we don't have any snow.
Well, yeah. Well, first of all, it's going to mess up the golf courses. When spring comes around,
real fast. You know, Scotty Krieger from Stevens Point, oh, right? Yeah. Of course, he does a lot of broadcast. He's a
decades.
A guy in our business for you. On Christmas Eve, I saw a posting that he and some buddies were down in Stevens Point golfing.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. There's a couple of friends posting that also on my Facebook stuff. So, yeah. But, the two times, not the last two, but the previous two times down to Madison happened to be right in the central part of the state, just north of Portage. And before Stevens Point, I was running into almost a whiteout kind of, you know, it wasn't heavy snow, but it made the road really slick when I was driving back in the late night on the Saturday nights. And I just kind of chuckled. He says, whenever there's been snow, it's been, and when I was making that drive back up from the southern part of the state, it just seemed that way.
Have you ever had a major wreck or anything like that? I was talking to somebody, I've been doing this for a long time, on the roads a lot. Never have hit a deer. Never have had a wreck at all. I've never had an issue.
Hit a deer. All the I know this is the announcer's curse coming up. Thanks a lot.
I know. But, blame me.
But I did. I had somebody run right into the back of my vehicle on the I-39 just north of Madison, and just about a little bit before you get to the ABS, the American Breeding Service.
Right, right.
folks who drive that know what I'm talking about. Now they got a big golf thing that's built there, just a little north of the ABS deal. Outdoor golf driving range, like a three-tiered type deal. Anyway, I'm in the middle lane going the speed limit, you know, and I'm heading towards on a Friday when it's, you know, going to be busy traffic, and I'm going the speed because I'm on the cruise control, and all of a sudden I just see this black car, you know, behind me really flying, you know, and so I just stayed there, didn't, you know. And doggone it, if they didn't, you know, just bang, right in the back end.
You saw it coming, basically.
I saw, you know, and he said, something rolled from underneath my seat, and I went to go get it, and I didn't, you know, see you. Well, anyway.
He's just like, can I quote you on that?
Yeah, well, I was not about to just, like, you know, exchange numbers or anything. I had the State Patrol guy there. Doing it, and I said to the State Patrol, I got to go do a hockey game now in Madison, and the car was at least drivable yet, but it got crunched pretty good getting rear-ended. But yeah, I've been hit more than I have hit others. I mean, my hit others hit happened early in my life, but yeah, knock on wood, I've been pretty fortunate all the miles I've put on.
I know, and it's really something. I mean, it's
especially when you make those runs from Wisconsin to South Dakota.
Oh, I can.
You know, to the west end of South Dakota when you're going into the Mountain Time Zone and into the Black Hills. And
that, you don't want to break down, do you?
No, not in the middle of there when you're kind of on. Yeah, they have the speed limit of 75 and you're pushing 85, 90, and all the trucks are just leaving you in their dust. I mean, they're flying.
So again, hopefully we will get some snow pretty soon. The time is 8:28. We're going to get an update on what's happening with the news, the weather, and the sports in the next 4.5 minutes, and then we'll come back and have more with Bob Look. I am going to bring back
the Rojo Roast.
I tell you, beware. The radical leftists are taking over. Ron Johnson's got the tin hat on. We're going to talk about Ron. I love talking about Ron. He's more Ron coming up here on Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. And welcome back, Chad Holmes Show on Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230, online at bullfallsradio.com, mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app, spending the first hour with Bob Look, as he does every other Wednesday here on the program. Always appreciate him coming on by as we can bang out some of the issues of the day and allow me to vent a little bit as well. But Ron Johnson. We talked already about how he's sabotaging any potential discussion even about the border issues, and you know, basically that's his modus operandi. And of course we've heard about Colorado and now Maine saying that Donald Trump has violated the 14th Amendment, not going to be on the primary ballot. And of course, who do you go to get a good response about issues such as that if you're Fox News? Ron Johnson, because you can just send him the script for your interviews and he'll answer the questions.
Well, you know, he also has experience of, you know, putting in forged and fake elector lists to represent the state of Wisconsin.
Expert
which
analysis.
Which now I was very happy to read is now being investigated and looked into, not only, you know, in Michigan and but also here in the state of Wisconsin. I'm sure that the Attorney General Josh Call is got a no comment going because he will say that it's, you know, an ongoing investigation. But I'm glad that they're making the step forward because other states have linked the connection between those state players who suddenly decided they become electors for the state when they couldn't be, and how this all came about, whose brainchild this was, and who all followed the rules that were set aside by those people. And I think that he's going to be into some hot water before this year is up.
There should be, and you said it just there. There's rules, and for certain people, there's no consequences, and that's what's making all these people upset about the Trump thing. Whether it's a major item or not, I'm not going all. But the whole idea that anytime there's any consequences for the actions that occurred by either Donald Trump or his allies, but they go nuts. You can't have consequences. Well, there should be consequences.
Yeah,
and for Ron Johnson, there should be consequences.
Take a look at those the video and the covers from January 6th and watch what happens. Watch the hooliganism. Watch them putting a scaffold or to hang somebody. Somebody and then the police there, the Capitol Police, and that who were trying to protect, first of all, the people within the Capitol and the Capitol itself, and how many of them have got scars that are going to be there for the rest of their lives. May not be scars as much on the physical end, but on the mental end. You be on the other end of crazed people who don't have your health in the back of their minds. They just want to step right on over here because they believe in something that is bogus, that's made up, that's absolute BS.
Something else, when Johnson was asked about these Colorado rulings and the such, the thing about Johnson that really, I shouldn't say the thing, one of the many things that annoys me is he just throws these statements out there that are just complete baloney. He's very good about throwing, we'll call it mud on the wall and hoping it sticks. And he quoted saying, this is just craziness. He said that radical leftism has infiltrated every institution in this country. Our courts, our education system, government agencies, it's a real problem. Has radical leftism infiltrated the Supreme Court that has a 6-3 conservative majority because they stole a couple of seats? Has it infiltrated what's happening here in Wisconsin when it comes to higher education led by Robin Voss and what he's been doing? He makes these statements that his minions will just nod their head when it's just complete garbage. And it's so difficult to have real conversations about important issues when you have such intellectual dishonesty from somebody that should be better than that.
Well, I saw a posting this morning with the secrets to why Joe Biden stole the election. And then you open up the report and it says he got more votes. He got more votes. Unfortunately, some people, and you know, it's kind of something we talked about, even tied into sports here. Some people cannot accept defeat. Even when the scoreboard says that you have less points or less goals or whatever than your opposition, you're still complaining, well, the refs are paid off, or this, there was a bad this, or excuse after excuse. Yeah. They can't accept defeat. And, you know, when I ran for, you know, the state Senate, I knew the chances of myself winning in this district were slim and none. And I'm just judging by the way it was gerrymandered and realized that, you know, I was doing my best to try to convince some people. I was proud to say that my numbers were above, you know, what was expected, which to me was a positive. But I, you know, going in, if suddenly that said, oh, we've counted the votes, we've double checked, and you won, I would have been the most surprised man in the world. But I would have been very thankful, and I would be working even 10 times harder than I wanted to work for that district, because these people got to that voting booth, made that decision on their own, and which is my one saving grace that I believe in this country and democracy, that when you get people to the polls and they get to make the decision in their own privacy, that's where democracy shines.
That's very, very uplifting.
I really believe that.
I mean, it is. I mean, there are these times where sometimes it's hard to find a lot of silver linings, where it's such a hard fight against forces that are pushing so hard.
And again, you know, disagreements between political figures or people's, you know, opinion on this to this, and there may be, but there can be a middle ground, that there is compromise. That's what makes democracy work. Because as I've said before in my, you know, other times chatting with you, is that I don't walk in saying I know everything. There's going to be plenty of opportunity where I'm saying, you know, that's something I'm not really, you know, well versed on. Tell me your side of the story. Tell me your vision or your views on this. And then let me, you know, do my due diligence, and, you know, because you may be hitting a reasonable spot to come up with a compromise and some kind of answers to these questions that I'm missing. We never stop learning in our lives. Mm-hmm. We never stop, you know, gaining more knowledge and gaining more experience. And you have to use that. Just don't come on with a, I'm sorry, you know, if it's a Democratic bill, I'm voting against it.
Right.
What? That's not the point. The point is if this makes sense, if this, you know,
that's why I get so upset about Johnson when he rails about the issues at the border. And then when you have an opportunity to be part of a solution, he's the kind of guy that will always break the glass. That's, again, because that's the way he is.
Well, again, I ask, you know, they're the ones saying, well, something should be done. Something should be done. And then I turn around and I go, okay, tell me what.
Well, we got to build a wall.
Okay. We build a wall. And there's people going around it. And you think that that's the only place that immigrants can get in, is right. In that southern border? You don't think they could, like, come in, you know, overseas from the north? I mean, it's like, no, what you're focused on is people not of that same color. That's maybe a little darker skin than you. And that's the basis for the, and yes, yeah. Hey, if you have the whole national Swedish swimsuit team, they want to immigrate, come on in!
Let's talk about somebody more positive, because I know probably over your broadcast career, you've had probably a chance to talk to Senator Herb Kohl.
Oh.
He just passed away.
Did you read
away.
My little thing on him?
I must have missed
okay.
it.
Okay, well, go ahead. Ask your question.
But I was going to say, because obviously you probably had a chance to deal with the senator and your role as, you know, the, you know, in the
I
media.
I met him a couple of times.
And even with the sports realm, of course, he's, you know, a longtime owner of the Bucks, helping keep the Bucks in Milwaukee, putting the money up for the Kohl Center in Madison. I just wanted to know your thoughts and your dealings, because, again, he was a guy that was not, you know, he was a Democrat, but, boy, of all the politicians we've dealt with, I think, over the last couple of decades, he was less of a, you know, a guy you thought, because now in this era, we, as you said, we think of the R and the D right at the top. I think with Herb Kohl, well, Wisconsinites really never thought about the D that much. They trusted the guy to do what was right.
How much time do we have before
we got break? About 4 minutes.
Okay. This is something I posted, my Brew Crew review, which is my love for the Milwaukee Brewers and talking about it. And I wrote this thing, and I'm just going to read this to you the way it was written.
Okay.
And it says here, former U.S. Senator Herb Kohl passed away this past Wednesday. This lets you know when it was written. Why am I writing about him on this post about the Brewers? Well, I hope you understand my reasons. First, as a successful businessman, you get opportunities to invest or partner with others in projects that can affect communities that they call their own. When fellow University of Wisconsin graduate and car salesman Bud Selig was looking for investors to form a group to purchase a struggling baseball club named the Seattle Pilots, Kohl and others pooled their funds to buy the year-old franchise and move it to their hometown of Milwaukee, and became the Brewers in 1970. In 1985, the NBA Milwaukee Bucks were up for sale. Kohl stepped forward to purchase the team. He held on to it while considering offers to sell with one stipulation, that the Bucks must remain in Milwaukee. In 2014, Kohl finally sold the team for $550 million. Now, that's a lot of money, but he rejected another offer that would have offered him $1 billion. That's almost doubled what he accepted. But the buyer would not agree to never move the team. And as I write here, since 1998, I've been working in a building that bears his name for UW men's hockey, giving his alma mater a $25 million first-class facility for sporting and entertainment events. So we salute Herb Kohl and his generosity to help make Wisconsin a better place. And is there any other Wisconsinite willing to step up? And then I finish by saying venture capitalists from other states may not have the same interest.
And also, yeah, and when he sold the team, he gave some of that money is put in the pool to build Pfizer for him.
Yes, sir.
I mean, how many times?
Could have went on and on about this guy, you know. And you know, was he a charismatic guy? No. He was just, you know, he was like your Uncle Herb. hey, Uncle Herb, how you doing? You know, and he was just a very pleasant individual. He was never going to tell you, you know, be filled with jokes or incredibly personality things. But he always had one thing in mind, and one of the things was to serve his beloved state of Wisconsin and the people that he was elected to serve.
And he did a nice job as a senator in addition to everything else he had on his plate. I mean, again.
And there were some people on the left who were pointing fingers at him and saying, he's not doing enough. And I go, again, just being a senator, being a congressman, doesn't mean you can just snap your fingers and make things happen. You got to talk to other senators, other congressmen, build coalitions, try to build, you know, to get things done. And that's where his strength was.
We will come back with a few more minutes with Bob. Look, I got to ask you a question because the last time you were here, later in the day, word came out on a trade the Brewers made. I want to get your thoughts because I found it to be one of the strangest little deals. I want to get your thoughts. So we'll come back with Bob here on Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. And welcome back. Chad Holmes with you on Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. BullFallsRadio.com. Mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO and on the Civic Media app. 30 degrees, overcast skies in downtown Wausau. The time is 8:51. And I got to ask you, because again, this trade happened after you were with us 2 weeks ago. It was two weeks ago today.
Right?
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
And the Brewers had a trade with the New York Mets. They traded Adrian Hauser and Tyrone Taylor for minor league pitcher Coleman Krull. And the thing about the trade that was really, I thought, just kind of jumped out is the Brewers traded two guys that were major league baseball players for a minor league player that will not pitch in the next year. It literally is a trade that will not help the Milwaukee Brewers next year. And of course, you can say, well, they could use that money, maybe bring somebody else in. But I just found it where you got couldn't even get the Mets to throw something in there that you could at least say, well, this might help us this year. Yeah. This is strictly dumping some salary and hoping that this guy turns into something in the future.
Well, salary cap, again, don't even look at the player. That, if the guy shows up in the major leagues, hey, this is a salary cap dump to help open up the possibility, and I do say possibility, of a free agent addition to this ball club. Now, I know that there's a lot of people go, well, who is it? Who's out there? Well, you know, there's some players that would cost a bit of change, and there's some people out there that myself personally, this is me again, don't have any secret insight or. There's a couple of players that I have eyes on that could really help the Brewer Ball Club for the upcoming year. Veterans, but not just veterans, but veterans who seem to play well in big situations. And a couple of names that just kind of popped up to me here lately was Doc Peterson, who was a left-handed hitting outfielder. Now people, well, what do we need another outfielder for? Well, he's 31 years old, and he also had a fairly good season last year because he was fairly healthy. Another one who's very familiar to Brewer fans is Mike Moustakas, who finally had a little bit of health last year. And you know, in the 2 years that he played with Milwaukee, he became a solid fan favorite, not only just a fan favorite, but he's a fan favorite who could actually deliver with some big base hits. So that's, you know.
And also when you get to this point, when you get past the new year and you get closer and closer to spring training, some of these guys, the prices go down, right?
They do go down, right. And, you know, it's like, you know, it's playing poker to a certain extent, you know, where you, you know, what do you have in your hand? You know, are you bluffing?
And the Brewers have had the success at times with a veteran that may have just, you know, fallen between the cracks and able to get them at a price that may be a little bit less than you would have thought. And then all of a sudden you get somebody that overperforms their contract. And but again, that is the Brewer way, isn't it?
Yeah, with the look at the Brewers with a lot of younger players. And the veteran that's there is Christian Yelich, and you know him being a DH more often, and also him maybe playing a few games at first base is not out of the question. You know, when you get a little older in life, and that you tend to gravitate to, say, first base and DHing a little bit. Not that I'm saying Yelich is old. Believe me, I mean I still think he's got some great baseball ahead of him. But there's more on the way. More on the way. Let's keep an eye on them.
Do you think the Brewers are going to make a big trade before spring training? Or yes. Do you think, well, you do still think so?
Not during, not before spring training. I'm thinking might even be in the middle of spring training.
Okay. Before opening day.
Before opening day, I still believe that there's going to be some veteran.
Think it's going to be Burns? He seems like the most likely to go, right?
I think that Burns is going to be with the club at least up till all-star time. It all depends on whether they're knocking on the door, competitive, yeah, within shouting distance of a division and playoffs. Because if it is, they'll hang on to him and try to pick up a couple of pieces from other teams being discarded. To, you know, their object is to try to get to the playoffs and then roll your dice.
Speaking of the playoffs, Packers are in the same situation they were last year, facing a divisional opponent that was playing some pretty good football coming down the stretch, but out of the playoff race. Last year was Detroit, came into Lambeau, eliminated Green Bay, eliminated Sir Aaron Rodgers, and headed him off to New York. Same situation. Bears come into a Lambeau Sunday, playing good football, 4-5. They should have won the fifth game, where they had a big lead over Cleveland and then also a chance on the Hail Mary, but they're a game out and they're a game short of being involved in the playoff race. Packers obviously played well against, I thought, a Minnesota team that looked very discombobulated last week.
But they did play well.
Yes, they did.
And in Minnesota.
And they did,
Which, you know, you think that Minnesota and the fans would give a little bit of a push there, but the Vikings looked like a defeated team.
Do you think the Packers are going to? Because I mean, last year the Packers were playing well coming into that last game too.
Again, what is important is the preparation this week. The coaching staff should not come in there and still talking about the win against the Vikings and still, oh, wasn't that great how we played? Right. That's just what we're looking for. No, we want you to even be better, a lot better than that. You got to be to the point where you put this team away and take hold of your home field advantage, like, immediately. Don't play around with these guys. Don't sit there and, you know, jump onto a lead and then just coast. This is, and it's a young team now, so it's imperative that the coaching staff really emphasizes there is no, like, let's just have a good start. No, let's have a good game. 60 minutes or more if it's needed. You're playing the best of your football you possibly can, no matter who is in the lineup. You might have some injuries or people that are down and you have some people backing up, but I'm telling you right now, you can't go into it halfway and hope that you win. You just got to go out and win.
It's always fun when you have those big games.
So yeah.
It should be fun on Sunday.
It's a lot better than, like, you know, just playing out the string last month.
And over the years, as we grew up, I'm sure we had plenty of those in the
70s. Oh, yeah.
Hey, Bob, coming up, I'm going to explain here. We got some tickets. The UW-Stevens Point Athletic Department, through Bob Look, has provided us some passes, free passes, and some exciting stuff going on during the course of the winter sports season. Tom Weaver, our buddy, is always covering the Pointer hockey team, and we got the big games going on, women's and men's hockey, women's and men's basketball. So we're going to give you a chance to win some free passes. So keep tuned in. I'll give you more information as we continue in the next hour. But, Bob, thank you for coming by, and we'll talk to you in a couple of weeks.
You bet. Have fun.
News update coming up, and then hour number two. We have a couple of more guests coming up, Sean Wright and also Chad Daly, here on Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230.